Well, a God morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. I don't know how long this message is going to be. My hope is regarding this message that you hear all of it. Therefore, if we don't finish on shortwave radio within this 30-minute time period, you can go to thegodschool.com on the internet that you might hear the whole message for today. Now, the pastor or teacher is given as a gift of God to his church, that is, to the people who belong to him, for, among other things, edification. The instruction is that the gospel is to be preached throughout the whole world. The gospel, and we get that word gospel in English from the German, which is Gottspiel, that is, God says. Now, with that introduction, and talking to the people to whom God has called, to whom God has chosen for himself, I want to look at a couple of verses, and then we're going to look at a lot of verses out of God's Word. That we might be put in remembrance of our calling. Paul says in the first chapter of Ephesians that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. He says in the fourth chapter of the same book of Ephesians, he says there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. Now, I don't want to get too technical because I think the message speaks for itself. But this word in the Greek, hope, is elpis. And when it is engendered, when it is generated, it has to do with the generating of the person in whom hope is set upon. The person our hope is set upon is God. So, I want to listen to what God has to say about himself, wherein our hope is set upon. I want to talk about this morning, and by no means is it exhaustive in all of God's I wills, but I want to talk about God and His I wills. He says, and I'm not going to go to all the scriptural references. Trust me, everything I'm about to say comes out of the Word of God. He says, in the first book of Genesis, he says, I will establish my covenant with you. He says, I will remember my covenant. He says, fear thou not. I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And this word righteousness in the Hebrew is tzedek, and it has to do with keeping covenant. For I, the Lord God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto me, unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Yea, listen to this. Before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall, King James says, let it, who shall hinder it? Who shall get in the way of God's work? He says, and even unto your old age, I am he, and even to the hoar hairs, that's the old gray hairs, if you saw me, you'd see my gray hair, will I carry you? I have made you. I will bear. I will carry and will deliver you. Our hope is in what God said, and if this ministry stands for anything, it is that God is not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should repent, or that is, change his mind. As he said, and so shall he do, and as he has spoken, so shall it be. Back to God's, well, we didn't leave it, but back to God's I wills, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. For God to be God, he could do whatever he wants. And thank God he's a gracious God. And thank God he's given us this hope of his calling. And it shall come to pass, in another verse, that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. In a passage of the first chapter of Jeremiah, it says, then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word. to perform it. Look, you could go study all the catechisms you want. You can hear all the doctrines of men you want. We are dedicated in this ministry to declaring the Word of God. For it, the Word, for faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Back to the I wills. Listen to this. And I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. For they shall return unto me. That suggests there was a separation, and there's no suggestion. The moment our first father, Adam, sinned, we were removed from the presence of God. But here God says, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. But this, God says, shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Book of Zechariah says, and I'll bring the third part through the fire. God tests us to prove what's in our hearts, not only to himself, but to us also. The third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and I will try them as gold is tried, and they shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. Those were Old Testament passages. Let's look at some New Testament I wills of God. In Matthew, the 11th chapter, it says, come unto me, all ye, Jesus speaking, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In Matthew 16, Jesus speaking, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This verse needs some explanation because there's some church that claims exclusivity in their relationship with God on this verse, and there's not proper understanding of what's being said here. It says, thou art Peter, The name in the Greek means little rock. And upon this rock, and the word here is an immense boulder. He's Jesus speaking of himself. He's the rock. Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And this, Jesus speaking, is the will of him that sent me, speaking of God his Father, that everyone which seeth the Son and faiths on him has everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Jesus speaking in the 14th chapter of John, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus, again, speaking, Jesus says, I will pray the Father. Jesus is praying, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. But when the Comforter has come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he, that is the Comforter, shall testify of me. Jesus was telling his disciples he's about to leave them in the 16th chapter of John. And he says, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. My pastor, Dr. Gene Scott, used to say, happiness is a feeling. It comes and it goes. But joy comes with understanding, and we're trying to give you some understanding of the person in whom we have set our hope of our calling. In John 17, which is the true Lord's Prayer, the prayer Jesus prayed, he said, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. In Hebrews, the 8th chapter, God speaking, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." Stay with me, folks. I want you to hear our Father's words, on whom our hope is set. In the 43rd chapter of Isaiah, God speaking, he says, "I, even I, am he, God, that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins." Put me in remembrance. And let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be best translation, that thou mayest be righteousified. With the heart man believeth, with the mouth proclamation or declaration is made unto salvation. Let's talk about this hope again. Let's continue to talk about this hope wherein we have come to God and set our hope on his words. So much of the preaching today is that it has a sense of, you know, God just wants to bless you in this life, right now. But that is not where the Christian sets his hope on. Paul says in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, "For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. If you have been seeking God and asking for a particular blessing of his, and it comes to pass, you better find a new hope to set your affections upon, for hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for?" Paul, that a most wonderful gift of God, when his disciples, who were called and chosen of God, began to preach God's good news, they didn't get it right. And Paul, one born out of due time, was called of God, who was taught in all the ways of God's word, who had such fervor for the Jewish religion, would persecute the church, but God, in his grace, while he was, that is, Paul was on his way to Damascus, God miraculously intervened and gifted Paul with a grace that the pure word, without the traditions of men, might be given to his church, that is, to his people. Paul, in the 5th chapter of Romans, says, therefore we are righteousified by faith, we have peace, we are set together again with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom, that is, Jesus, also we have access by faith to this grace, unmerited favor, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, that is, whackings. The word comes out of tribulation comes out of the Latin tribulum, wherewith they would take a staff and beat the wheat from the chaff. God's looking for wheat. We glory, we boast in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh endurance, and endurance experience. Folks, God said of Paul, his great gift to the church, he's going to have great trouble along with this great gift of declaring the word, the hope we have in God. Shall he not? Shall he be the only one that's going to have trouble? No, we're going to have trouble on this journey to our home, which is in heaven. He says, and not only so, but we boast in tribulation, knowing that tribulation works experience, works endurance, and endurance works experience. We made it through that, whatever it was, that seemed to deny the hope we have in God and his word, and experience, having made it through, hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. I don't care what situation you find yourselves in, if you have the hope of your calling, if you have based your hope on the one who gave you hope, that is God, and that hope through his word, that hope makes not ashamed. Thank God. Paul says, if we have hope in this life only, we are most miserable of men. Our calling is in heaven, where God's word is settled forever. We, as Paul tells us in the 13th chapter of Hebrews, that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do to me. That statement of courage, which is 90% of faith, is preceded by that statement. Wherein God has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm hoping you have heard these words from God's word. I want to close this message about the hope of our calling. From Paul's words in the second epistle to Timothy, wherein he says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. I'm encouraged. I may have needed this message more than any of you, but if the message has hit home, if you have heard, if it has been effectual, let me know. You can do that by going to thegodschool.com, clicking on the pencil or the comment section, and letting this teacher know that you have been edified and encouraged. And that's the God School for today.